Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
WGN. It's Jones and Mike in for Dave Plyer. Roger Badish in the newsroom. Saluting.
Salute.
And I think the greatest name ever for a person who works in this time slot, Bennett Wakefield. Well, Wake Knight.
That was you, you burned the whole
that
thing.
That was the big chance.
That was the whole thing. Moment. Wake Knight.
They'll rewind the tape and
we'll fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post, yeah.
That's right. Wake Knight. I need to see your license at some point, Knight.
Okay. I'll bring it out. Don't worry.
And do you go by Bennett Wake Knight? You should just go by I am Wake Knight.
I am the Knight. Wake Knight.
Like a Brazilian soccer player.
I've considered it, but you know I haven't taken the first steps of doing so.
And you have radio lineage, and so I gotta think that your parents, they planned on this. They legally changed their name at some point. There's no way your Christian name is Wake Knight.
You know what the two lovely people who raised me say? It is, but you know, yeah. I haven't done the in-depth research of actually taking the action and figuring that out myself.
All right. Well, I'm gonna need to see some sort of legal, you know, documentation that this exists.
Will do.
I won't divulge any other information. If you're an organ donor, if you're your weight,
a Class B driver,
yeah,
CDL.
That's right. Air brake endorsement. I won't go into any of that, but I do need to know if your last name is Wake Knight.
You got it. And
I heard the rumors were that it was supposed to be Dark Knight, but they said someone already copyrighted that. So.
Yeah, that, I mean, really, it is unbelievable. This is an ungodly time of night, especially after Amari's in here, playing Ozzy and Harriet and shows from the 40s and whatnot. Badish, your perspective, what amount or percentage of people up at this time of night or listening to this show right now are high?
Ooh, wow. Legally or illegally?
I you know,
together
under some sort of influence of some, if you do not have a job where you are being paid to be up at this time of night.
Oh, right. Okay.
Why would you be
Saturday into Sunday
unless you were stoned?
Yeah. I'd say I'll go with 30%.
You're going with one out of three are stoned now.
That's a pretty strong
number. I'm using stoned as in all types of influences.
Yeah.
Liquor, marijuana.
Overdose
of drugs of some kind.
Right.
Okay, yeah. what would you think the number is if we just kept it to marijuana?
Maybe 1.5 out of 10.
So
maybe
five.
About 15%.
I think I must
15%.
Be stoned. You're going to have to do the math for me, man.
Took me a while,
One and a half out of ten.
What is going on in the seventh floor, Roger?
Did you just say a percentage and a half?
We're not telling.
We're getting fractions
locked.
Involved. Yeah. This is way over the head.
I'll say 15%.
15%.
Yeah.
Still, I think that's a
you think it's high?
Number.
I mean,
no, I don't think it's high.
Oh, okay.
I'm not in disagreement with you. I'm just saying, like, that's a pretty strong number.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm driving in tonight and I see a giant cannabis leaf on a billboard. It's facing west on the south side of the Stevenson.
Yeah.
I think I have seen this before, but I think I did one of those like kind of movie things where I kind of scratch my eyes, rub my eyes with my fists. And I was like, I didn't just see that.
Mm.
But sure enough, it's some dispensary. And obviously this has been a topic coming up, you know, in the news and in newspapers and editorials and so forth for years. But now that it's here, I still can't believe that there are billboards for this. Like, you think it would be like, oh, it's very discreet. You get, if you need marijuana for medicinal purposes, you get a note from your doctor, and then he sends you to this very, you know, nondescript seventh floor office building, you know, office. But no.
They don't have a sign on the door. There's no, it just says, you know, ring first.
It sounds like you're uncomfortable with this, Mike.
Why? Yes, I feel like a time traveler. I feel like I woke up in
but
a different era.
Now.
Exactly.
It, you know.
How and why did this happen?
But see, now, and here's why I find this interesting. Because when this topic comes up, I always feel very uncomfortable in putting myself forth in the discussion. Mm-hmm. Because I really feel like I have no pot credibility. And I don't mean to put you out in front of Chicago, Mike, but I would say we've known each other since we were 14 mm-hmm. years of age.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, you would have some pot credibility.
Yeah, I would have a basis of knowledge in this area. Of course. Yes, you are correct.
See, and I have zero credibility when it comes to this. In fact, my credibility is so low. Now, and honest to God, Roger, 2 years ago, and Mike is already laughing because he knows what I'm going to talk about.
So good.
So my parents passed away separately, but both passed away in 2006. My sister and I still had the home. We still have it, but we rent it out now. But just even a couple years ago, I was really doing a final and complete clean out.
Okay.
And I was going through some drawers.
Oh,
and
no.
I opened up this one drawer and went through it. And I pulled out this little 3-inch long, like box. Mm-hmm. And it had the Beatles on it, which was odd because my father was a very passionate Irishman, traditional Irish, from Ireland. Both my parents are from Ireland.
Oh, okay.
And he was very much into Irish traditional music. I'm like, the Beatles? That is not my father. And there was this little wooden flap on the top of this box. I peel it back. And up pops this metal device.
What?
And I was like, what is this? Yeah. The first person I thought to call was Mike.
Your expert.
I didn't know.
Your
go-to
guy.
I looked at it and I was like, this looks like a drug thing. But I don't know what it is. It's got the Beatles on it. What could it be? I called Mike, took a picture of it with my iPad and sent it to him. Mm-hmm. And he was like almost furious with me. He's like, are you kidding me? You don't know what this is. I'm like, I don't. I'm like, dude, that is a bat. And I'm like, a bat? So does that make it a drug thing?
Yeah.
He's like, dude, that's a dugout box. Your old man had a dugout box.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I flipped it over and I saw on the bottom the lettering. It said dugout. I'm like, it says dugout. So whatever a dugout box is, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm like, sniff it. Sniff it. What does it smell like?
So I've always had this. We're diving into this topic of marijuana and where we are going with it as a society.
Is it a good thing? Is medicinal marijuana legit? Is that a legit excuse? Is this a good thing?
Is it a good thing, a bad thing? Is Jones equipped to talk about it?
We're in for Plyer. It's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. WGN. Dave Plyer has a night off. It's Jones and Mike in his stead. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10. So a texter to 312-981-7200, Jones, says, hey, you guys sound like a couple of old farts. Now go out and yell at some kids walking on your lawn.
Oh, come on now. That's
not fair.
I did that yesterday.
Yeah, that's baddish right there. He can spot two people who should be yelling at kids on his lawn from a mile away. Now, here's the thing. I have partaken years ago, but I have partaken. And having partaken in something, you have you know about it a little bit more than like a Jones, for example. You, Jones, you are not a partaker, and you've never partaken in marijuana. Yeah.
That's true. And I have not. So I really
proudly.
Come from, it's not even a matter of proudly, it's a matter of kind of just happenstance, I guess. I've never done the mushrooms thing. I call it a thing. So
we're playing right into that texter's hands now.
I know, but here's the thing though, because it's strange as we've gone on in years, even though I was non-participatory, I'm kind of like, well, if it comes from Mother Earth, I think I'm all right with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not the one.
You're an organic kind of a guy.
I am. I veer organic. And, you know, even though you don't have to smoke everything to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and so my premise is it a good thing that it's just so out in the open? Shouldn't it just be a little bit more discreet and really for medicinal purposes? The idea I thought behind this was it's for people who are really sick.
Right.
And so you found your dad's dugout box, or it was in your dad's belongings.
Yes. As I was clearing out the house.
Yeah.
That's when I discovered my dad's. I didn't know it at the time, but you informed me after I sent you the photo that was, in fact, my dad's dugout box.
Now, are you sure it was his?
Well, see, here's the, that's. Thank you, Roger.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're going right where I was.
Very lucid.
Yes.
Clearly not a stoner, this Baddish.
So, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I was thinking of, though? So when I found it, I kind of went back and forth a little bit because I thought, okay, here's I had two schools of thought. Mm-hmm. Years previously, when I was a young kid, I was in, my parents had a conversion van. And in the captain's chairs, they had that little table where you have the drinks, you can put your drinks down. I lifted up the drink cup, and one time I found a joint. And I brought it into my parents, and my parents had recently brought the car in to get work done on it. And they were like, oh, it must have been one of the mechanics.
Yeah,
they were smoking
a
joint, and then they just tucked it under the little drink holder. So I had that in the back of my mind.
So elitist. Blame it on the blue-collar dudes.
Right. Well, my dad was an iron worker. He was a total blue-collar
dude.
Yeah,
that's right. Don't get more blue-collar than him.
So maybe he knew who to blame it on.
Yeah.
So I had that in the back of my mind. Then I have this dugout box in my hand. But there's a part of me that Jimmy was not a shy man. And he would be the kind of guy who, if he saw a younger man doing something like that and thought it was wrong, he'd take it off of him and be, you don't need that. Get out of here.
And beat him about his head and torso with his fists.
Maybe.
Yes.
But he was that kind of guy. So I've talked to some other friends who have said, yes, that's your dad's dugout box. And others who have said, no, that is not your dad's dugout box.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to rectify that when you have the dugout box in your hand.
Yeah.
And when you find a joint years previous, a smoked joint, tucked into your parents' conversion van. Now, we are getting texts that are asking, what is a dugout box?
That's right.
So you do not want me to explain this, nor Roger. So we will go to Mike Noonan. Mike.
Yeah, thanks for using my last name. I appreciate that.
well, wait a minute. That's the one you've taken.
That's right. So like Wake Night using wink, radio names.
Right.
That's my radio name.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Your dugout box, Margaret, in Bridgeport, is what you keep your marijuana in. And it's really handy because when you flip off the little top, this is what I've read, it like automatically shoots out this little metal pipe, which is your bat. And so, bam, within seconds, you're partying. And then seconds later, you're listening to Carl Amari on WGN, and it's taking you back.
Transported back to the 1940s.
That's right. That's right. So we have determined that probably Jimmy, your dad, Jones, probably took this off of a worker. Somebody left it in his truck at work or something and never got rid of it. Now, years later, and both your parents have left us so we can speak freely. Years later, your mom potentially had a need for this.
Yes. This does take me back to another moment when I went to the resident drug expert, Mike. And my mom in 06, she passed away from stomach cancer. But in 05, mm-hmm. she was battling stomach cancer. And really, she had lost her appetite. She was really struggling to eat. And obviously, I'm concerned about this. I'm incredibly close to her. But she wasn't eating. And then they would give her this thing that's called MCT oil, I believe. You're supposed to put it on your food and it will add whatever little food you're eating. It will help up the caloric intake. But my mom had no appetite. You'd put the MCT oil on. She just didn't want to eat. The MCT oil didn't help. So I was talking to a coworker and they had said, you know what you should do? You should get a little marijuana and you should just sprinkle it on her food. And just if she got to eat a little bit, then the marijuana would trigger the munchies and she'd want to eat more. So I was like, let's do this.
Eureka.
But I didn't know where to turn. So where do I turn?
Oh, jeez.
It's so ridiculous. You are actually like a bad pot hookup, but you're my only pot hookup.
That's right.
You're the only guy.
The only guy I know.
Right, yeah. It's
who will tell me the truth and not laugh at me.
Exactly. I was like in a position. It's like you're in a position you need someone with muscle, and you find a guy who can do two more push-ups than you can.
He's
like,
slightly bigger than me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I called up Mike.
In the drug conversation, I'm the tallest midget. There's no question.
Right. But still, he was the midget that I went to. Uh-huh. And I was like, Mike, this is what I need to do. And as I explained it, I'm like, my mom's not eating. I was wondering if I could get some marijuana, if you would know it. He's like, this is weird, man, but I'll smoke up with your mom. I was like, no. I just need to get it and sprinkle it on the food. He's like, well, man, I tell you, I'll look and see what I can find, man. But it's been a while.
Yeah, I know. At the time, I was like, I'm not going to go cruise the parking lot at Naperville North High School. Even though I love your mom and I know that she's really struggling, I can't do that. So I don't know really where to go with this, but I'll put some feelers out in the community.
Right. So that's, I have zero credibility on this issue, yet somehow I'm more comfortable.
I was really excited. I really was honored that you gave me that call, honestly. I was like, this guy, this is a really sensitive issue for him. He's, and it hit close to home. This woman, this lovely woman in this horrible position, all she wants to do is eat. All she has to do is eat. And here comes Jones asking if I can sprinkle some marijuana on her spaghetti.
Right.
Like, and just tell her it's oregano.
So it's kind of weird then.
I don't think that would have worked, by the way.
It might not have. But it's
Spanish,
funny.
Would that have worked?
It might have.
See, I'm trying to trap him.
We kind of have the same issues at our place.
Okay.
Okay.
My wife's been suffering with rheumatoid arthritis for over 10 years now. And then she is a cancer survivor, very recent. And she is now filling out the forms because she doesn't want to go back on the drugs that are very addicting, the pain-killing drugs. And so she's going to try this and see if it works.
So why is it then such a touchstone for you that you're uncomfortable with it? And I'm not challenging you.
Well, because in your situation, Roger, and in your mom's situation, Jones, it seems like that's something that they could have. And you tell me, Roger, is that something that like your wife and her doctor have that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
And so
the doctor was very encouraging about it.
Yeah. And he or she is providing guidance in that way.
Mm-hmm. The paperwork is enough to turn anyone off to trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The state paperwork, it's ridiculous.
How extensive is it?
It's very extensive. You have to be fingerprinted, and you can only go to certain outlets to get fingerprinted, state-approved outlets. You have to get a current passport photo. She has a passport, but they require a current photo. There's a couple of other... They charge you for the application.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that it could be denied? What percentage of applications are denied?
Well, my understanding, we even had a story, about a month or so in the news, that the state is not approving applications at the rate many people thought they would be or could. And that several dispensaries actually are going out of business because nobody's coming in because they have not approved at the rate they thought they would. So, and it's at a state level. The agency that approves is not approving. Hmm. So it's kind of jammed up. We don't know if it's the budget thing. We don't know if it's a political thing. We're not sure.
I thought that once it would be up and running, it would just be a machine.
Well, Colorado's approved, if I'm not mistaken. They're making tons of money.
Right, yeah, right. And I thought Chicago would see that.
They have requirements out there.
Let's go.
Two arms, two legs. Actually, the legs are optional out in Colorado. You just need to have one arm, one leg, and you are probably going to get approved out in Colorado.
And you just need a mouth.
And you do need
you
a mouth.
You need a mouth.
That's about it.
One of those trachea tubes probably would work. X-Files, Smoking Man, that's how they brought Smoking Man back. He was using the trachea tube.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the baddest way to smoke ever. brought back by X-Files, right? All right, so this is gold baddish. As usual, you've come through because I see that billboard on the Stevenson with the giant pot leaves, and I think, like, oh, man.
Well, I thought you were going to climb up there, cut it out, and roll it.
Well, right. I'm thinking everybody can get it now. This is wild. All right, more on this topic next. We're in for Dave Plyer. It's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dave Plyer's out tonight. Jones and Mike in here instead. And Roger Baddish, I'm sorry to hear about your wife's troubles. I'm glad to get your perspective on this issue of medicinal marijuana the marijuana, you know, business, as it were, in the state of Illinois. When I see a big giant billboard on the Stevenson and it makes it look like, you know, hey, just come to this website. You know, this dispensary will set you up. And you're saying, no. My wife, who really has a need for this, she might get bonged, pardon the pun.
Did you? Honestly, I don't think you planned that, actually.
I say bonged for rejected all the time. But that's why I'm your expert in this field, Jones. I just have seen a lot of movies about drugs.
It's just instinctive,
And so I'm actually heartened to hear this, although I'm, you know, disheartened to hear that there's a need for it. But this is because I've known people growing up, Jones. I knew a guy in our neighborhood who was known. He was the dude. If you had a need for weed, you went and saw the guy down the street. And I'm telling you, there was 24/7 business just a couple of houses down from me. And so I grew up, you know, kind of seeing this guy progressing through his marijuana business, as it were. And, you know, by the time I was a teenager, this guy could barely string together a couple of sentences. He was really, really out of it.
So
growing up, I went, I don't know, man. I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think this stuff is good for you.
How old he was when he started?
I mean, it looks like he was a lifer. It looks like he was a lifer.
How old was he when you knew he was the guy in the neighborhood?
Well, you know, I was very, very young, probably 3 or 4 years old. And so
and you knew he was the pot
I
guy?
Knew, yeah, totally. Well, you knew to avoid this guy. So let's get into him and some other, you know, experiences. Is this good? Is this bad? Should they relax the rules for people like Roger and his wife and these people who need it? WGN, Dave Plyer's out. It's Jones and Mike in. 312-981-7200. We're being called judgmental for some reason, Jones. Texters are saying we're judgmental.
That.
We're not
judging
people who use marijuana. I want people who need it to get it, and I want people who don't need it to have to work for it. Like, I think that there's a value. Like, there's a, so in the parent world, Jones, the childless guy, you come to me for, hey, man, what's it like having kids? And you come to me for, like, what's it like when you're stoned? And so those are the two unique value propositions I present to you.
Yes, that's accurate.
The organically living but never having been stoned, childless, transcendental meditating, hockey playing, vegan bachelor, Brian Jones. I can tell you that there are lots of parents who are like, you know what, man, I let my kid do all sorts of stuff here with their friends because this way I know where they are. And I'm always like, nah, I'm going to go the other way. I think there's a value to making your kids kind of have to work for those experiences and not have it be handed to them in some kind of a, you know, in your basement. You know, and I had friends growing up where they'd have all sorts of parties or whatever. And I collect my mom's going to collect your keys. Oh, so your mom knows that we're doing this? It's blowing my mind. She should be down here kicking us out. So when it comes to marijuana and me seeing a giant pot leaf on a billboard on the Stevenson, my first reaction is, man, they're making it seem too easy for folks who don't need it. And if you do need it, you should probably be going through your doctor, and it should be like a, you know, maybe you go to a government office or something.
It has to be through the doctor because part of that paperwork is a doctor's statement.
Okay, so all the more reason why. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then it's a really a nondescript, you know, staid, you know, office building in Wheeling. And you go there to the third floor, and this is the code that you put in. And then Marjorie will set you up, you know. Well, she, and he wouldn't even use terms that loose. They would come up with, like, doctor terms for it. So I'm glad to hear that they're restricting it. I'm sorry that they're restricting it too much. It sounds like they got to open the spigot a little bit more for folks who need it. Because growing up, I saw people literally melting their brains on this stuff. And you asked me before the break, Jones, like, you know, how long was the guy on your block? How long was he doing it? And I'm pretty sure, you know, 10 or less. Like, he seemed like it was in his soul for his whole life.
Really? Okay. Okay. And, I mean, would he be one of those all day guys, like the wake and bake style?
Yeah. This concept of waking and baking. Yeah. I have seen people do that and that blows my mind. So yeah, I would probably put him in the 24 hour category he was constantly using. And after, you know, a decade or more of that, he could barely speak.
See, that's interesting. Like, to me, again, as a guy who never smoked pot, yet I'm cool with it, one thing that has always stuck in the back of my mind is I think it's the age in which you start. I've always had this kind of idea where I was like, God, the guys who dive into it at that, like the older brother did it, and then they're doing it at 11, 12, 13. That's when I think you see it becomes a crutch or it kind of just morphs and melts into their brain. And I was listening to a podcast like weeks ago, and it was on the Joe Rogan Experience, and he had on this comedian Tom Papa, and they were talking about marijuana and when they used it, when they didn't use it. And I always thought, like, when I was seeing people doing it at a very young age, like, no, bad move. And then when I heard Tom Papa kind of put it out there or encapsulate what I had already was always thinking but never said, I was like, yeah, that's it. I think that's the key. That's the success to properly modulating your marijuana usage.
Yeah, let your developing brain grow. Let's go to that Papa clip.
I didn't think that it was so much a loser thing, and I don't at this point. I do think you can start too early. I do think as a parent, and I'm saying this in case my children's friends listen to the show and then tell my daughter. But but I do think, like, at a certain, like, if you can start too early. Everyone I know who started too early got a little weird. They spun out a little bit. But like, brain has to kind of become you. You're so, just to figure out who you are and what, you know, your brain is really hyper-developing then. Like, why mess with it?
Yeah, I think you're taking, like, a real big, like, you're taking a big leap from your normal consciousness when you're getting high.
Uh-huh.
And when you're just sort of getting the feel of your normal consciousness, if you're getting high all the time,
right,
I think you miss out on a developmental period.
Completely.
Yeah.
Very confusing period, and then why throw that into it?
And see, and that is words from two guys who are pot users. But when they put it out there, I was like, that's it. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
So I think I'm in the range where I can start. Maybe I should dig out my dad's dugout.
Maybe this was his way of sharing this with you, this little nugget of maturity with you from beyond the grave.
Yes. So should I start waking and baking?
Yeah, I look at it like that's like a childish vestige. Like, oh, you know, you do that kind of junk when you're a dopey teenager. And then, you know, when you grow up, and you become a man or a woman, you let go of your childish ways.
Now, are you talking about waking and baking?
I'm talking about using marijuana for recreational use.
Okay.
That's the way I've always looked at it. And now, you know, you're saying, and this Papa character is saying, no, you actually should probably delve into things later on in life, especially, you know, things that are going to possibly alter your brain development.
Right.
And they're really kind of dwelling on your personality. Find yourself.
So now, have
you before you then choose to lose yourself?
And I totally agree with that. Now, have you ever known any wakers and bakers in your life?
Yeah, I knew a dude in college who, you know, and I'm getting slammed here. Like, this guy knew a drug dealer when he was three. It's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, unfortunately, there was a bad seed on my block here. But that's cool because it was a cautionary tale that I don't want to be like this guy. He was kind of like this is the bad role model early on. And so when I get to college, there was a guy, I mean, this guy was sharp first year. And by the end of the first year, they were escorting him out of the school. He had flunked out. And again, his brain totally melted. And he was the waking and baking variety of guy.
See, now I used to work with a waker and baker. And
you make it sound like so. You gotta talk mellow about it.
Do I? Well, actually, it's funny. An unnamed texter has texted in saying, Jones sounds high right now.
Yeah, you do. You do
How
get
do
mellow.
I sound high?
You get mellow when you're talking about this.
I have like a squeaky voice.
Yeah, you get mellow when you're talking All about right. this. So, but it's fine. It's the time of night. It's the topic.
Can we also say that there's, you know, we're talking about recreational use and medicinal use.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a huge difference between the effects of either one.
True.
So when I was teaching in one school district, we actually had to go through a 3-day-long seminar on drug use by students and what you look for. And this was maybe 18 years ago, and we were told that the marijuana that was making its way around the schools then was like 1,000 times more potent than the marijuana that was in the 60s because they were specifically growing it now to get high. And that when you said your brain is fried, these guys were talking about the actual effects where it does start frying your brain. It actually starts liquefying parts of it.
That 80s propaganda campaign, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs,
exactly.
the egg frying in the pan, it actually does that?
Yes.
See, I just thought that was like a metaphor.
No. They brought out the scientific data that this new, specifically manufactured for the best highs, marijuana at that time, 18 years ago, I'm sure it's worse now, was specifically manufactured to give you the quickest high and deepest high you can get, and this is what it was doing to your brain over continued use. Now, the medical marijuana that they're manufacturing under tight government control now is nowhere near anything like that. It is in smaller doses. It is not as intense, and it is just to help a person deal with whatever the pain from either cancer or the pain from like rheumatoid arthritis or some other physically debilitating illnesses. So there's a big difference between the two.
Now, it seems like I want them to, those folks, I want them to get the most powerful available.
See,
you know, and they're not.
But again, it's so controlled because doctors are involved in it, the state's involved in it, and so they want to make sure that, because one of the things they're using it for is to not get hooked on the pain pills, which are highly addictive, and so you don't want to get them off those and put them on something else that's highly addictive. So you manufacture it so it has the least amount of addictiveness, if that's even a word, for the patient.
Interesting. Okay. Well, this is you're our new drug expert, Roger Badish.
You're the new go-to guy.
Jones is going to be calling you now when he has a question.
Oh man, I could just hear it. Hey, Roger, it's Jones.
I know
he called me
high.
At 2 in the morning, dude.
Yeah, but no, apparently I sound much more mellow when I'm talking.
Yeah, you are.
You do. You get into. You're like a method actor. Dave Player's out, and that is Bennett Wake Knight, the best name ever for anyone working at this time of night.
Thank you.
Really. And handsome, too. This is 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. I'm feeling better about that billboard on the Stevenson Jones. I'm feeling better that it's not that easy for folks. You know, here in Illinois, it's not that easy for them to get medicinal marijuana. But that certainly doesn't seem to be the case out in other states. It seems like it's that there's way more relaxed rules for this sort of thing. So it feels like they got to open the spigot up. I can't believe that the power of of the stuff that, that people get today is, what did you say, an order of magnitude of like 1,000?
A baddish, yes,
it's 1,000 less, 1,000 times more powerful than like at Woodstock.
Yeah.
That, you know, that just seems impossible to me. Although at the same time, I know that they've been working on it.
That's what I'm saying. They've been cultivating it over the decades to become more and more powerful.
Right.
Cross-pollinating it with other different marijuana from other parts of the world, and it, just a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not the scientist, so I'm not sure exactly how, but that's what the police officials were saying. These were the experts of, these are the guys that are seeing the results on the streets,
yeah,
on what's on what these kids are doing to themselves,
yeah,
they were warning us for to find the signs
as teachers, well, and on what, yeah, to spot, and this is why I have seen people like turn, like melt their brains inside of a calendar year with this stuff, and that's why I'm always like, oh, I think it is a kind of a, it's either totally not good for you as it on its own, or this theory that it's a gateway drug that might be true.
Well, yeah. I used to work with someone. And it was, and for, I want to take umbrage with anybody who says, like, I'm all of a sudden more mellow when I'm talking about drugs. So anyway, there was this woman I used to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there was this woman I used Perk to work up. With, total waker and baker. And it was so, like, she had kind of smoked her whole life, right? And every morning she would come in, she'd smoke up before she got on the train, she'd come in high, kind of hang out for the day, whatever. All of a sudden, that habit got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it did gateway into other. It did gateway into other drugs.
Hmm.
Then all of a sudden, though, while she was in this, while she was kind of pursuing these extracurriculars, she worked like crazy to become to gain control of a particular department in our company where she was handling all of the money, all of the checks that would be coming in. And over the course of the year, she eventually got caught. And over the course of the year, she had taken $50,000 from this company.
Oh, it's a gateway drug to more, to abscondence of funds.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. And she had admitted completely, I heard her admit this, that she had had a drug problem. And that's what was driving her to this.
Wow.
And it was just like, because, you know, as I mentioned throughout this whole hour, like I've had no experience with this stuff. I'm not speaking from any experience level at all personally. And then when I saw this firsthand, it was crazy to hear someone live like this. But what was even weirder than that, 2 weeks ago, now we're going to up the game. We're not talking pot anymore, people.
Oh, no.
2 weeks ago, I met an old coworker. And
Jesus, where do you work?
Well, it was where I used to work.
I'm glad you don't work there anymore.
So I met this old coworker. Really cool guy. Love hanging out with him. Very interesting. He's moved cities, but he came back a couple weeks ago. He's like, hey, we got to hook up. We got to hang out. He was going to meet his girlfriend out for dinner, wanted me to meet her as well. I met her once before briefly. Went out to a bar, having a great time. And he was always kind of a shifty, jumpy guy. But we're hanging out.
Not mellow like you.
Not mellow like me. And we're hanging out. We're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, his girlfriend's like, hey, you know what? We're going to this house party. You should come with us. Uh-huh. I'm warning you, it's kind of a weird party, but, you know, you should come with us. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Conversation continues. She kept coming back to the, now, okay, we're going to go to this weird party. I'm just letting you know it's weird. And finally, she kept saying it to a point where I was like, okay, you keep saying it's weird. What's so weird about it? So, there's going to be real young people there. I'm like, well, I hang out with millennials all the time. She's like,
I can hang.
And I totally can. And she's like, well, like everybody there is 25. And my buddy was like to her, he's like, well, you're 25. She's like, yeah, but I'm an older soul, whatever. She's trying to create this difference from her and the rest of the crowd. But she's like, I'm just telling you, it's kind of a weird party. So we go there. It's in this little basement of this apartment. I walk down there. And it's this real, like, hipstery, trip-hoppy kind of party. They've got, like, YouTube videos, like, going on the wall. Like, whatever they're playing, like, whatever kind of Portishead or whatever music they're doing.
All right.
I walk in there. And all of a sudden, I'm noticing, and I'm looking around, It's a Coke party.
What?
My first and only Coke party.
Yeah, see?
I'd finally made it.
Yeah.
It was like this odd bucket list.
Did you run away?
No, because it was actually kind of cool. Because I was like, it was this odd bucket list moment that I didn't know I had. Because I've never done the bad boy thing. Now, I didn't, to cut to the chase, I didn't do any Coke.
Yeah.
But I went to this party. I'm like, I've never been at a party like this.
Yeah.
I'm always so straight-laced. I've never done the bad boy thing.
Yeah. And now and I now, get to see it up close.
Oh, dude.
After reading about it in books.
And I used to always, I had this idea that cocaine was like this glamour drug, right?
Mm.
And when they first, the girl that I was talking to this girl, and she's like, hey, you know, I'm going to go, you know, I don't know if you imbibe or whatever. And she goes into her pocket. Now, I immediately think, this was right when I first walked in, so I didn't really know what was going on. She goes to pull out something from her pocket. She goes, I don't know if you ever imbibe. And immediately I start going into my I don't smoke pot routine. And she pulls out this bag with like white stuff in it. And I like my script gets blown. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't really ever. Oh, that's that's
I've read about that.
That's awesome stuff. But I'm driving tonight.
Yeah, nice.
And like I use that, and it's a reasonable excuse not to do cocaine. You're driving, but somehow putting that out there just
that's
felt like,
yeah.
Oh, it was like the worst. Like that's the best stuff.
So it was real glamorous that
but
party.
I'm driving.
Huh? Yeah.
No, in the end, not so glamorous.
Dave Flyer's out. It's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN.